History at hand, revision at your fingertips. By the late 1960s, the Cold War had gone off in a new direction. Superpower relations seemed to be much better. The USA, though, was embroiled in the Vietnam conflict, and the Soviet Union was still having trouble with their satellite states in the east of Europe. After the Cuban Missile Crisis, with the Hotline Agreement, and with the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, it seemed like the Soviets and the Americans were finally enjoying a period of détente, where they could actually get on. This was in many respects down to the accession of Leonid Brezhnev as the new leader of the Soviet Union, who was more stable than Khrushchev, his predecessor. And he succeeded in moving the Soviet Union closer to nuclear parity with the United States. With this balance of terror in place, there was little chance of direct confrontation between the USA and the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union's relations with its near neighbours in Eastern Europe were still a cause of great concern. Although they had successfully put down the uprising in Hungary in 1956 and had the Berlin Wall built in 1961, that wasn't the end of the problems for them. Many of the underlying dissatisfactions with communist rule still manifested themselves. Private grumbling rarely became public outrage and protest. The forces of authority, the military, the police and the secret police, were able to maintain order. But in Czechoslovakia at the start of 1968, it seemed that things were going to change. The old ruler of Czechoslovakia, Antonín Novotný, was forced to resign at the end of 1967. He had ruled Czechoslovakia in a traditional Stalinist fashion, and many people were starting to show their discontent. The lack of material goods on the shelves, the limitations to people's personal freedoms, and the lack of political choice all served to make a discontented mass of people. Under the new leader, Alexander Dubček, it seemed that things could change. Dubček was still a communist. He believed very firmly that Czechoslovakia should remain within the Warsaw Pact. But he wished to introduce what he described as socialism with a human face. This meant the development of a more open society, one in which political participation was encouraged. There'd be fewer restrictions on freedom of information and freedom of speech, and there would be the possibility of more consumer goods in the shops. Dubček's reforms were applauded by the intellectuals within Czechoslovakia. They were very quick to take advantage of the new freedoms that they had on offer. They no longer had to worry about being arrested by the secret police for talking out of turn. Indeed, now it was the government's ministers who had to defend their record on national television. Grilling they weren't really used to or able to cope with. Criticisms came in about the failure of Czech education and housing and the jobs market and what they were able to produce. For the first time in years, there was an outpouring of enthusiasm, confidence and optimism from the people of Czechoslovakia. There was even talk of establishing a social democratic party to rival the communists. Dubček was keen to reassure other Warsaw Pact members and the Soviet Union that this experiment left them with nothing to fear. He didn't want to leave the Warsaw Pact, and he wanted Czechoslovakia to remain a communist country. Some of his followers would obviously have wished to take things further, but this would be a good start. This period is known as the Prague Spring, a period where there's this outpouring of new ideas, new developments, and, as we've already said, confidence. Dubček's tinkering with communist orthodoxy, though, didn't go down well with others in the Warsaw Pact. Gomulka in Poland and Ulbricht in East Germany were keen to ask Leonid Brezhnev what he was going to do about this new problem on their doorstep. Warsaw Pact troops started doing very public military exercises on the borders of Czechoslovakia. By July 1968, it was time for a showdown. Brezhnev came to Czechoslovakia in order to try and sort the situation out. A summit conference was held with the Czechs, and Dubček agreed that there would be no Social Democratic Party. He gave reassurances about Czechoslovakia's position within the Warsaw Pact, and this was able to ease the tension. But by August, there were still rumblings that Czechoslovakia was upsetting political stability within the Eastern Bloc. 20th of August 1968, the Prague Spring was brought abruptly to an end. Soviet tanks rolled into Prague, just as they had done 12 years earlier into Budapest, Hungary. The Russians claimed they were giving assistance to the Czech people, who were faced with counter-revolutionary and foreign forces trying to undermine them. The Czech people themselves, they argued that this was contrary to the basic principles of good relations between socialist states. The danger was there would be a Hungary-style bloodbath. Dubček and the other reformists urged against direct confrontation. There was small-scale armed resistance, in which 72 Czechs were killed. For the most part, though, the Czechs sought to resist this passively. They did things like change the road signs to confuse the Warsaw Pact troops. There was little, though, that the Czech people could do against 200,000 troops and 2,000 tanks. One statement of protest was the Czech student Jan Palach sitting in Wenceslas Square and setting himself on fire, becoming a martyr to the 68 revolution. Brezhnev's decisive action restored some sense of stability to the Warsaw Pact. Dubček was removed from power, and his role and status within the Communist Party was downgraded. He was replaced by the much more orthodox Gustav Husák, who started a period known as normalization within Czechoslovakia. Brezhnev's actions were very much applauded by other members of the Warsaw Pact, such as Ulbricht and Gomulka. Others, though, like Albania and Romania, protested that this wasn't the way things should be done. Brezhnev, though, this seemed an essential action. It prevented Czechoslovakia from leaving the Warsaw Pact, even though they never claimed they wanted to do so. But it had prevented the tide of liberalization which could have undermined Soviet authority throughout their sphere of influence. From the experience of 1968 emerged the Brezhnev Doctrine, this principle that all members of the Eastern Bloc have to remain members of the Warsaw Pact and be one-party states, communist. His argument was that if one socialist country should waver, then it would be a threat that could undermine the whole political system in Eastern Europe. The West's response to the Prague Spring and to the Soviet recriminations was muted. America was concerned with problems with the civil rights movement and the Vietnam War. There was strong support for what the Czechs were doing amongst students throughout Europe, particularly in Paris. But this was not to be converted into any political response to the crisis. Therefore, the Soviet Union was successful in maintaining their authority in their buffer zone. The hopes of the people of Czechoslovakia were crushed, and they remained under a communist yoke for the next 20 years. By the late 1980s, under President Gorbachev, it seemed like there was a rehabilitation of Dubček and his ideas. Gorbachev's efforts to try and revive the Soviet Union through glasnost, openness or greater freedom, perestroika, some economic reform, rang true to what the principles and ideals of Dubček's reforms in 1968. The hopes and aspirations for the peoples of Eastern Europe were to be crushed for another generation, and it wasn't until the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 that finally the communist sphere of influence was crushed. Bye, and good luck.